How many read your devotional? Okay, there's a bunch of them on the back. Make sure you take one, take a handful, give them out. The other day I read this in there and I thought it would be perfectly fitting for the message this morning. It says, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Now, great is in the eyes of God. Sometimes you may just go lay a hand on a shoulder of somebody who needs prayer, and that's great in the eyes of God. The Christian life is about Jesus, it's through Jesus, and it's for Jesus. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and name above all other names. Now this morning you're going to get the simplest message you've ever heard. Even I can understand it. I often go home and say, what did I preach? We're going to talk about being commissioned by God. Yes, Martha. Being commissioned by God to break the power of sin, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. It still does happen. To do the miraculous, a miracle is something that defies the laws of nature. It's not walking on water in January. But there's some things that we need to understand. And I know I got your attention because you're looking at me like a cow looks at a new gate. I didn't bump my head and I didn't freeze the other morning. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse number 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, say all with me, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. Say every. Jesus went about healing every sickness and disease. I want to tell you something, because I've read things that in my mind aren't true. The Bible says that there were places that they brought sick to Jesus. I mean, the Bible doesn't say. People say there are places that they brought people to Jesus and he couldn't heal them. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he could do no mighty works amongst the people because of their unbelief, except that he healed a few people. If a few people got healed here this morning, it'd be a revival. What happened there is that the people, because of their unbelief, didn't bring the sick to Jesus. Because everyone that was brought to Jesus who was sick, he healed. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now, if there's anything that I've ever been dogmatic about, is this. We are called by God, anointed by God, filled with the Holy Spirit to do amazing exploits in the name of Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody water that down. I heard a preacher on the radio years ago say, well, if anybody comes to me and tells me that they were ever healed by God, I'd call him a liar because God doesn't heal anymore. Isn't that amazing? God just suddenly woke up one morning, and we didn't wake up because he doesn't sleep, just woke up one morning and said, I ain't going to heal nobody. It's all over. You jerks are on your own. Therefore, people don't want to take it the next step. If he doesn't heal anybody anymore, then he doesn't save anybody anymore. Well, you say, well, what are you talking about? You know why? They're both in the same package. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was upon him. And what? By his stripes we were healed. We are healed. It's the same package. The atonement package that Jesus Christ paid for sins, paid for healing. Don't shout me down. Don't get too excited. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, this sounds strange a little bit, I'm reading from the New King James, my food, some of your Bibles said my meat, or some of you will even say my purpose, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ripe, white for the harvest. They're already to harvest. How many have driven by any fields lately? What do they look like?
Wet.
How many of you drive by the fields and you don't see the water, you see the potential? Is your glass half empty or half full?
Overfull.
The fields are white, ready for harvest. Make a comparison now until December, January, February, when you get all your crops in, and we're going to have nice weather, so don't worry about winter.
Amen.
Thank you. Got one person with faith besides me.
One person that doesn't
want. I don't want winter. Forgive me. So when you drive by the fields, Jesus compared the field to the world. The fields are white, ready to be harvested. The world is ripe, ready to be harvested spiritually. The problem with the church is that we're concerned and we're worried and we're frustrated over past crop failures. And so now we're just sitting waiting. How many realize that there are hundreds of cars a week that drive by here? Drive by every church in town. How many realize they just don't turn in? If this community is like every other community that we're aware of, probably 60-70% of the people in this town and your community and around here just don't go to church. They don't go to church normally, they don't hear about Jesus. And if they don't hear about Jesus, that means they're going to hell. God didn't do away with that either. So there are some things that are going on that we need to be aware of and understand that we have amazing responsibility and empowerment to go out there and do something about this area. Yes, Tony.
Yep.
Amen. Don't get too excited.
I'm holding it back.
You're holding it back. 3 points I want to make to you, and I want you to understand them this morning. Point number one, Jesus did what he saw the Father do. Jesus did what he saw the Father do. John chapter 5. Verse number 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Whatever Jesus saw the Father do, he would do. The Bible says that Jesus said in another place, "The Father raises the dead and I raise the dead." Let's eliminate some doubt here. Real quickly. Doubt number one, God just doesn't handpick those who are going to be saved. There's not a lottery spiritually. And if you don't win, you lose. That's not how it works. Jesus went to the people that he wasn't even supposed to go to. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall" what? Myth number two is that God doesn't heal anymore. We talked about that earlier. God healed in the Old Testament. He healed in the New Testament. He healed after the life of Jesus. He healed after the life of Paul. And he's healing today. People who don't believe it are just going to remain sick. Because time after time after time, Jesus looked at them and said, "According to your faith." Let's eliminate another myth, and that is that we don't have to do anything to get people saved. Yeah, we do. We need to be willing to go wherever that might be. Point number two, the disciples did what they saw Jesus do. Jesus did what he saw the Father do. The disciples did what they saw Jesus do. Now, don't get ahead of me. You'll probably figure out point three. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And he called his 12 disciples together in verse 1. And he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In fact, is when Jesus told them to go out, he didn't even tell them to pray for the sick. He told them to heal the sick. Hello? How many are out there? Wave at me. I want to see if you're still alive. I need to pray for you. It's like the church where one of the deacons had a heart attack, and when they got there with the ambulance, they had to check them all to see which one had it. It's okay. Just wake up. He sent them out. Verse number 6. Look at this. So they departed and went through the town preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They went out and did it. They didn't look at Jesus and say, "Oh, not me." They had seen the demons come out. They had seen Jesus raise the dead. They had seen Jesus heal the sick. They had seen the power of God come down. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, now it's your turn. So, Jesus one day is sitting down, scratching his head and thinking, boy, I wasn't sure if that would work or not. No. He says, I like this. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70, or some of your Bibles will say 72. Others, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is truly great, and the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to his harvest. Skip down to verse number 8. And whatever city you enter, and they receive you, and such things as are set, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come to you. Go out. Who are these 72? I don't have a clue. They were people like you and I. And he says, now I want you to go out and I want you to heal the sick. Now listen to this. Can a sinner be healed?
Yes.
How do we know that? Because he said, go heal the sick and then tell them the kingdom of God has come. We're all sinners. We've all been saved from sin that accepted Christ. But in this case, he goes and he says, now I want you first of all, if Stephen was just somebody passing by, I want you to heal Stephen. And then I want to say, hey, buddy, the kingdom has come. Don't get run over by it. What's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom came to them. Okay. The 70 comes back. How many knows the rest of the story? Let's look at it. Chapter 10. In verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons, not only did we heal the sick, but even the demons are subject to us in your name. Even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus looks at them and says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Where I saw him get the left foot of fellowship. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice because you have authority over the demons. Rejoice at your name is written in heaven. Don't rejoice because you have power over demons. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Now, these people drove all the way from Wisconsin to be here this morning. So if they can make it before we're done, you can too. So they had power over demons. They had power over sickness. They had power over disease. They had power over sin. Okay? Jesus did what the Father did. The disciples did what Jesus did. What's the third point? We need to do what Jesus and the disciples did. Amen? Come on, some of you wanted to say amen, but you know where it's leading. You need to do, and I need to do, the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do within us. And that is to walk in the Spirit and live in the power of the Spirit. A lot of your frustration spiritually is because we're just sitting around. It's like somebody said, a lot of people aren't standing on the promises, they're sitting on the premises. And God has called us for more than that. I remember the first time I reffed Roswell when Stephen was playing. I thought, man, I've got to fast for a week. That kid's going to get broken too. Scott, he was just like a tank. And so was Stephen, the first game we saw. I mean, he was wiping those guys out. Either in sports you're going to be the hitter or you're going to be the hittee. In the kingdom of God, you're going to be a missionary or you're going to be a mission field. Don't ever say I can't, because God's not expecting you to. Come to a place saying I can through Jesus Christ. You can look at Mark chapter 16. How many of you are believers? None of you are going to raise your hand anymore. Bunch of jerks. How many of you believe in Jesus? How many of you are going to hell? Okay. These signs shall follow them who believe. They will cast out demons. They will speak in other tongues. Whoa. Jesus said that? How many are believers? How many of you are saying, God, give me anything, but don't give me those goofy tongues? Hello, come on. Do I believe in speaking in tongues? Yeah, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the book of Acts. Jesus didn't stop filling people with the Spirit either. They take up any serpents. If they take up any snakes, they won't hurt them. They drink deadly thing, they won't die. And they shall lay hands on the sick. And what? They shall recover. There's not 12 steps to it either. Okay. It's okay. It's not a 12-step program. It's a one-person program. His name is Jesus. And as you walk through the supermarket, as you walk through the job, as you go through the community, as you're driving by, as you are in tune with the Spirit of God, God is going to stop and say, there's a person in that house that's sick. There's a person in that house that's a sinner. Go in there and pray for him. You say, who, me? Yeah. R.W. Shambach tells the story. Of a young man in his church that came and heard a message like this. So he didn't see him the next Sunday in church. Finally, on a Wednesday, the kid walked in the church and he said, where have you been? He said, I've been in jail. And R.W. said, well, what do you mean you've been in jail? Well, I went to the hospital and started cleaning it out and they arrested me. I was reading about William Branham this morning. His crowds would get up to 25,000 back in the 40s and 50s. And he was walking in to preach, and somebody yelled at him and said, "Our patient just died who's in the ambulance. We brought her by ambulance to come to the service, and she's dead." And William Branham went in there, and there she was, dead. Her husband was kneeling at her bedside, cot side. And when he saw William Branham, he said, "Mother died. Mother died. She's dead." William Branham just took her hand and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ." She sat up. Why not? Are there such things that God would really do that? Yeah, but you know what happens? There are times we don't hear from God when he says, "Go raise that person from the dead." There are times we don't hear or we don't listen to God when he says, "Go pray for that person with cancer." If you're thinking, look at me, if you're thinking that God put that cancer, that heart attack, or something else on somebody, quit thinking it. God's not the author of disease, he's the author of healing. Well, God took him. No, God didn't take him. God just received him. Sin, sickness, and death, there are of who? That was really feeble. Sin, sickness, and death are from who? How many are convinced? Health and healing, salvation and life comes from God. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that ye might have what? Life, and have it more abundant. But here's the deal. Most of us has just accepted the fact that we're going to be sick. Somebody's going to die. Sickness and death didn't come from God. Adam and Eve would not have died if they wouldn't have sinned. But here, God loves. How many heard us sing that this morning? Over and over and over and over again. And the Lord began to speak to us about his love, of him, of just his love that's so overflowing and overwhelming. And you know something? In most of our communities, it's probably going to take something miraculous to change the mindset of the town. It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take God being God in the ways that he was God in the Old Testament. And the ways he was in God in the Old and New Testament are because the people let him be God. They didn't put him in that test tube. They didn't put him in that box. They allowed him to do what God does. I encourage you, let God out of the box. When somebody comes to you and tell you, well, God doesn't heal anymore, say, yeah, he probably doesn't in your life. Not being mean. I can understand why he doesn't. You'd have a heart attack if he did. But our children, our grandchildren, need to see the power of God in action. You need to see it. Because I can almost guarantee you that some of you are sitting here now saying, I've heard it before, but I've never seen it. Step out. Step into it. Because there's so much available. As we ask in faith. As we believe. I believe that Jesus walked in all 9 gifts of the Spirit. I believe his disciples did too. And I believe we can too. I believe that we can have word of wisdom and word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, I said that. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. I believe that all these are available. But I believe we need to be willing to ask. Now let me ask you a question. How is the power of Satan going to be broken, not only in your community, but how about in the lives of your family members or even in your own house, if we don't believe in this stuff? When we come to a place of saying, I don't believe God does that, I don't believe that this is happening, we're saying, basically, there's no hope for my family. Because almost everyone here knows family members, might not be close family members, who aren't serving Jesus. Maybe controlled by Satan. And if we don't have the power to break that through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, how are they going to be free? There's power in the name of Jesus. I got a call from Tim Pomp, who's a friend of mine. He pastors a Lutheran church in Grand Forks. He said, Dwight, would you come up? We want to have a miracle service. We want to have a Holy Ghost night the last Sunday night of October. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't take vacation. We just need to be willing to step into that. When I hung up, I thought, why me? Then I thought, I have the same Holy Spirit anybody else does. When somebody says, well, we need somebody to pray for us, we need somebody with the Holy Spirit, you're him, you're her. Amen? That's what we're going to commission you to do today. Commission you to go forth in the name of Jesus to lead people to Christ, to heal the sick, yeah, to raise the dead. You, every one of you, God's going to develop in your life an attitude of praise, an attitude of power, an attitude that you can face anything, that nothing's going to back you in a corner. You're not going to fear people. You're not even going to think, if nothing happens, what do I do? That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility to step in and go for it in the name of Jesus. If you've ever prayed for the sick, you've all prayed for someone that didn't get healed at that moment. Don't worry about it. That's God's part. Your part is to walk in that anointing, walk in that power, walk in that spirit, not looking at yourself. It's not about me. When we make it about us, then we got issues. I pray that somebody has enough miracles where you do start getting proud. Don't worry, there's enough people here to keep you humble. Some pastor said, we don't have to worry about wildfire. We got enough wet blankets to put it out real quick. We need some fire. Come on. You need the anointing. You need the power of God. You need the Spirit of God. You need the presence of God. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen. Going forward. Moving out. You okay, Darcy? Moving out in Jesus' name. That's a call. That's a commission. It's not about us. It's not about COC. Now listen, it's nice if everybody you pray for would come to COC. That's not the purpose. We'd welcome them. Let's bust these walls out so we have to get a new building. Have no choice. Right, Martha? Martha feels bad. She says, I'm not going to heaven until we get a new church. She called me an Indian last night. I can't believe it. Wow. I didn't know if I was honored or if I was cursed. But we're going forth in the name of Jesus. There's a calling on your life, every one of us. Now here's the deal, and I'm done. First time I said it today. You can say, it's not about me. You can say, that's not for me. You can say, I'm not going to make the call. We were reffing in Wabe on Friday night. 42 seconds left in the game. Great Plains Lutheran. If you know anything about football, there's a 10-yard chain. They got a first down just by the end of the chain. They were right there. They went in with 42 seconds left and beat Wabe. Somebody had to make the call on the first down. Somebody had to make the call. Somebody got to make a call in your life. Are we going to let the enemy influence us? Or are we going to let Jesus influence us?